Ladies and gentlemen, why does God require obedience? Have you ever seriously considered all that is involved in this question? If you and I should come to understand why it is that God requires us to obey Him, then surely we would be more anxious to submit to His will. In a general sense, obedience is a readiness to carry out or perform the ordinances of another, in this case, the ordinances of God. Obedience is a matter of putting the design of another into execution, thereby satisfying the will of other persons. The word obedience then signifies the capacity to hearken to one's advice, directions, or orders. In religion, obedience must be motivated by faith and love. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love." Galatians 5, verse 6. This obedience on the part of man involves his relationship to God and Christ, to his parents, and to his overseers or superiors, and even to his secular government. Christ set the perfect example of obedience in his early life. He did the will of his Father in heaven rather than the fleshly will of man. He served his fellow man in humility and love. Our obedience unto God involves faith in the gospel of Christ, faith in the holiness and equity of its precepts, faith in the truth of its promises. In addition, our obedience unto God must involve the actual practice and exercise of the commands and duties He has given us through His Son in its fullness and perfection. Our obedience must mature and grow until we reach an exact conformity of our hearts and lives to the will of God. Man is under an obligation to obey God because of the relationship he sustains to Jehovah, the Creator. Man is the created being, not made in Japan or Hong Kong or a product of evolution and chance. God made man. We should stand in awe and reverence before our eternal Creator, as did David the psalmist when he wrote these words, "I said unto Jehovah, Thou art my God." Psalms 140, verse 6. Our obligation unto God arises also from the law which He has revealed to us in His Word, the perfect law of liberty. Centuries ago, David truly recognized that the law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. Psalms 19, verses 7 through 9. Furthermore, one of the powerful indirect reasons for our obligation to render obedience unto God is found in the blessing of His providence, which we are constantly receiving. The Apostle Paul once cried out to the mystified multitude, "We all sort of men of like passions with you, and bring you good tidings, that you should turn from these vain things unto a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all them that dwell in, who in the generations gone by suffered all the nation to walk in their own ways. And yet He left not Himself without witness, in that He did good and gave you from heaven rains and fruitful seasons, filling your hearts with food and gladness." Acts 14, verses 15 through 17. We are specially obligated to obey God because of His love and goodness in the grand work of our redemption through Christ. God not only made man, but He also remade man, that is, in the new creation through Christ in becoming a child of God. God made us and then redeemed us. He literally bought us back when we fell away in sin and degradation. Hear the Apostle Paul when he said, "Or know ye not that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have from God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body." 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. When we become fully aware of our relationship to God and the obligation to obey Him, then we will also become interested in the nature of this obedience. we began to desire a clear understanding of the matter and how we could please God, our Creator. There are several words that indicate to us the nature of our obedience to the Lord, and each of these qualities is indispensable if we should serve God faithfully. First, our obedience must be living and active. We must not only avoid what God has prohibited, but also perform faithfully all that He has commanded. This involves both an understanding of God's will and a willingness to obey. In Ephesians 5:17, Paul admonished, "Wherefore be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." In Revelation 3:19, when the Lord spoke to the church of Thyatira, He declared, "I know thy works, and thy love, and faith, and ministry, and patience, and that thy last works are more than the first." Second, our obedience must be personal, for no man can obey God for us. Although Christ died for us, took our place upon the cross, yet there are gospel commands which we must obey. The Hebrew writer tells us, "And having been made perfect, He became unto all them that obey Him the author of eternal salvation." Hebrews 5, verse 9. Third, our obedience to God must be sincere, as well as active and personal. The mere performance of some ritual does not save anybody. The young evangelist Timothy was told, "But the end of the charge is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned." 1 Timothy 1:5. Fourth, our obedience must also spring from love, not just from fear of the Lord. It is true that it is a terrible thing to fall in the hands of the living God, for the Bible says God is a consuming fire. Yet, the prime motivation behind our service must be pure love. Jesus said, "If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments." John 14:15. Fifth, our loving obedience to Christ must be diligent, not slothful. Paul wrote to the Roman Christians saying, "In diligence, not slothful, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Romans 12:11. Ladies and gentlemen, our obedience as Christians must be conspicuous and open. Our service to God should be obvious to everybody. There should be no doubt or question about it. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under the bushel, but on the stand, and it shineth unto all that are in the house. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Matthew 5:14-16. Hear the warning of the great Apostle Paul when he said, "God will render unto every man according to his works. To them that by patience, steadfastness, in well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil." Romans 2:5-9. Ladies and gentlemen, God requires obedience for many, many reasons. Perhaps one of the points concerning obedience that we have most failed to emphasize is the advantages that result from obedience to God. As we sometimes sing the hymn, "It pays to serve Jesus, it pays every day." One great advantage of faithful obedience is brought out clearly in Paul's epistle to Titus. In Titus 2:10, the Apostle Paul wrote how they should show all good fidelity, that they may adorn themselves in the doctrine of our God and Savior in all things. The Greek word from which is translated fidelity in this passage has the basic meaning of faithfulness. Not only does faithful obedience necessitate the adornment of the doctrine of God, it gives evidence of man's salvation. Paul wrote that, "If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they have become new." 2 Corinthians 5:17. Beloved, a person who is no different after having obeyed the gospel has not really learned the meaning of obedience. Another striking advantage of faithful obedience is found in the pure peace of mind it affords. As long as the disobedient man has any shred of conscience remaining, he cannot find peace within himself without God. The Apostle Paul was able to say that he had a conscience void of offense toward God and men always, Acts 24:16. The record of the conversion of Saul leaves no doubt about his willingness and desire to obey God, regardless of the cost. Can you make that claim? One of the most rewarding advantages of serving the Lord is the rich experience of being able to influence others to follow your example of obedience. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and challenged them to be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. When we're imitating Christ, we are establishing a safe pattern for our loved ones and others to follow. We cannot successfully recommend the Lord to others unless we are showing daily the delights and the practicality of His way. In addition to the joy of winning souls for Christ and winning stars for a heavenly crown, the most basic advantage of obedience is found in the fact that it justifies. It causes a man to become acceptable in God's sight through the cleansing of the blood of Christ. In Acts 10:34-35, the Apostle Peter declared, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him." Who is acceptable? Peter affirmed that is the man who fears God and works righteousness. That is the great basic advantage of obedience. Hear the inspired word of James when he said, "Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham our father justified by works in that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Thou seest that faith wrought with his works. And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." James 2:20-23. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? We are saved by faith, but not by faith only. We're not saved at the point of faith without any further acts of obedience on our part. Verse 2 of this divine record states quite clearly, "Ye see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith." Hear the words of the Bible, and I say, are you listening? Man is not saved by faith only, neither is man saved by works only. Man is saved when his faith works through love, when his faith leads him to work righteousness. A faith that will not lead one to obey any command of the Lord that is given cannot be a saving faith. James further wrote in verse 26, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead." Beloved, do you believe the Scriptures? This is what the Bible says, and I repeat, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead." What is the purpose of obedience, one may ask? God is fitting and preparing us for an eternal habitation with Him as He leads us through the school of experience and the school of obedience. A good theme song for life and destiny would be, "Trust and Obey." We show our deep confidence in God by following His directions. If we set aside some of His instructions, we are placing more confidence in the creature rather than the Creator. God knows what is best for man. God desires that we should do our very best, both in this life and in the hereafter. He expects of us the best. No good soldier of the cross acts as if some of his commander's orders are essential and some are non-essential. The true soldier shows his confidence in the captain of his salvation by unquestionable obedience. Both on earth and in heaven, God's will must reign supremely, otherwise confusion and chaos prevails. Joyful, loving, trusting obedience must be learned in this life. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," John 14:15. May I ask, are you a dropout from the school of obedience? God seeks both the present and the eternal good of man. Satan seeks man's present corruption and his eternal ruin. It should be evident to all men that wherever God is and whatever God requires of man, it is for his good. That is why God requires obedience to the commands of Christ. God's commands grows out of man's needs, as the prophet of old wrote, "It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps," Jeremiah 10:23. God, in his mercy and grace, has given us the Bible, especially the last will and testament of Christ, the New Testament, to direct our steps. Have you obeyed from the heart Christ's commands to believe on him, to repent of your sins, and to be baptized into his one body, the church? Are you trusting and obeying Christ as a Christian each day that you live? God requires obedience. Yet, God's rule is benevolent, not tyrannical. God's commands are manifestations of his grace. Man's highest happiness here and hereafter lies along the pathway of obedience unto God. Have you obeyed God?